All right, Sunday morning, 10:31:21. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is, They Forsook Me and Fled. They all forsook me and fled. They all, men, have their dogmas. This is the Lord speaking here. It's the way he put it to me. By which they live by. They follow me when it fits their dogma. And then they continue on with their dogma and they stop following me. All right, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures here. Matthew 26, 56. Then all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Mark 14:50, I think it's the same. And they all forsook him and fled. In the this is Merriam-Webster Dictionary, dogma. It's a belief or set of beliefs that is accepted by the members of a group without being questioned or doubted. And dictionary.com says dogma is an official system of principles or tenets concerning faith, morals, and behavior, etc., or like a church. Okay, with that, let's go over to Mark chapter 8. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. By the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. Yeah. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. After the 3 days rise again, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. When he had turned about, he looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Their opinions were formed because of their dogmas. See, they thought he was Elias, and they thought he was this, and they thought he was that. But even Peter thought, you're the Christ. Well, right here, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me this morning when I was getting ready. Peter and his dogma. The first church of the Transfiguration. Well, Jesus did say on this rock, he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. See, these mindsets, these thinking. Even Paul called Peter out because of his dogma. All right, I had one other thought. I got my little pieces of paper. I need to get a tablet in there. I said that last week, but I didn't do it. All right, traditions of men, dogmas nullify the word of God, like the manna that stank. Traditional thinking, it's stinking. We have to go with the truth of the word of God. All right, their opinions were formed because of their dogmas. Many will not believe beyond their dogma. Their religious systems of this world are coming down. This is the time of the end of this beast system that has dominated the world since the fall of man. Many are following the false prophet, which is the religious system, with their dogmas, a form of godliness and no power thereof. They have made their choice. Those who follow me in spite of their dogmas, they have learned under the beast system, are hearing my voice, and they will overcome. This is my thought. The Lord brought this up to me, and I would like to share it. Charles Capps, End Time Events, The Triangle of the End. This is my thought here. Remember my teaching about the pyramids, like those pyramid charts back there, just turning that pyramid upside down, and how this system is has brainwashed because of them. In other words, the beast system, this has brainwashed the people because of it. The food charts, the beast system, and the $1 bill, the pyramid is on all of them. And then an earlier word this month, I brought up something about the flip, and I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. The kingdom being flipped back up where it is supposed to be. We have been enslaved in a system that is upside down. God is using their own symbols against them. He is turning their pyramid upside down to cause the wicked to be sifted out. All right, Brother Capps. Several years ago, while teaching a series of satellite meetings, the spirit of prophecy came upon me. The prophecy pertained to the triangle of the end. I saw in the spirit a large, acute triangle, and these words came forth. As you approach the triangle of the end, time shall grow faster and closer, until the wicked shall be cut off. As these words came forth, I saw in my spirit, as it were, a large, acute triangle. It was standing on end, looking somewhat like an inverted pyramid, with a line drawn down the center from the wide top to the narrow point at the bottom. Being wide at the top and very narrow at the bottom, it resembled a funnel. Inside this triangle was light, but outside was darkness. Excuse me. There was a time when you could be off from the center line of the triangle and still be inside the triangle of light. But as you approach the triangle of the end, you must move to the center line, for line must be upon line, precept upon precept. In other words, you cannot have these excuses being way out here on the fence about stuff. Yeah. I could say that if you were off from the center line at the bottom end of the triangle, you would be outside the triangle and in darkness. And that was the way the wicked would be cut off. Even though they were to one side of the center line of God's word, at the top of the triangle of time, they were still in the light. But at the narrow end, which represented the end of the age, everyone who was not on the center line at the end of the age would be in darkness. That's how confined it's becoming. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to turn that chart upside down. In other words, it used to be broad. You could be all over the place within that bottom part. But now as it comes down, more defined. You know? Now I can understand what the prophet Tony Cook said. He said that the old guard were going home. If they did not get to leave, they would carry on as before and they would be in disobedience and would lose their reward. Just think of those that you've tried to talk to and they will not listen. They discounted everything you said. This is a time of the great awakening, and sadly enough, because of their dogmas, they will not listen. The end may not be very good for them. Tommy Hicks saw somewhat what Charles Capps saw, one part of it. I'm going to read that to you. This is the part here. Not all of it, but some of it. He's recounting his story here. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself at a great high distance. Where I was, I do not know, but as I was looking down upon the earth, suddenly the whole earth became into view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight, from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, and I recognized every country and many cities I had been in. And I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the sight before me. And at that moment, as the earth came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downwards. I was facing the north. Suddenly, I beheld what looked like a giant. And as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great in stature. His feet seemed to reach to the north pole and his head to the south. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this was a mountain or whether this be a giant. But as I watched it, I suddenly beheld this great giant. I could see it was struggling for life to even live. But his body was covered with debris from head to foot, and at times this great giant would move its body and act as though it would even rise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous-looking creatures would run away from this giant. And when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand towards the heavens, and it lifted the other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness and into the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise. Do you see we, the people, standing up here? Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he arose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him. He began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord, and as he raised his hands, it was even unto the clouds. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver that I've ever known. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great, I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it and cried unto the Lord, and I said, "Oh Lord, what is the meaning of this?" And it felt as if I was actually in the Spirit, and I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. And from the cloud, suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon the mighty giant, and slowly, slowly, this giant began to melt, began to sink, as it were, into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down, liquid drops of light, as it were, began to flood the very earth itself. And I watched this giant that seemed to melt. Suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth. As I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. This is happening all over the world. People are rising up and fighting back. At this very moment, there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes toward the heavens, and suddenly I saw a figure in white, glistening white, the most glorious thing I've ever seen in all my life. I did not see the face, but somehow I knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would stretch forth his hand upon the peoples and the nations of the world, men and women, as he pointed towards them. This liquid light seemed to flow from his hand into their person, and a mighty anointing of God came upon them, and these people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months, and I beheld Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand. But there was a tragedy. There were many people, as he stretched forth his hand, that refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt that certainly they would receive this call of God. But as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and toward that one, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. And to each of those who seemed to bow down and back away, they seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. And to me, that's like that exactly what Charles Capps saw. No more is there gray. No more can you be a little off. You better be right on point. That's what he's saying to us today. Yes, because of their dogmas, they won't believe unless they see his personal coming, the rapture. Well, from reading this vision, isn't that Jesus coming, his body rising? We are his body, aren't we? Whether he physically comes or he does not, we know at a point we will see him face to face. But regardless, his body rising up, we are his body in the earth, right? It's like him rising up, okay? We just need to get over all the foolishness that we've just had crammed down our throats. All right. This is my thought. Do you feel that closed-in feeling? Do you feel the closed-in feeling? I believe we are at that fine line that Brother Capps is talking about in his vision. I do. Excluded because of you refuse to go with the traditional dogma and worldly things. It's that the line is, it's like you're walking a tightrope. We're walking a fine line, one step in front of the other. That's about all we can do right now. It's just getting more compressed and tighter, but that's the road that leads to life. It's like President Trump talking to those college students. He said, it's called the road less traveled. Talking about the road to success. Yeah, this is the road less traveled. All right. Maybe this is what being sealed feels like. Literally like you're encased and you're just like this. You can put one foot in front of the other. You're just trying to toe the line. Walking a straight and narrow line, straight and narrow path. All right, I want to read Malachi 4 to you here. Charles Capps brought this passage of scripture with that word that he brought. First one's Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. All right, verse 16. Well, that couldn't be 16. There's only six. Well, that was a miss. Anyway. All right. Isaiah 61 and 2. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Could this possibly be what Jesus was speaking to the people about in this particular parable? This is Matthew 25. We're going to start with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, not in. Naked, and you clothed me not, you clothed me not. Sick, and then in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And there's another account, it may be in Luke, where it talks about, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do mighty works in your name? He said, I never knew you. I don't know you. Why? They got off somewhere down the road. They were following their beliefs and what their church taught, but they weren't following what the Lord said. When you start following church dogma and you quit following the Spirit, you're going to get in trouble. So sad, they followed their dogmas and they thought they were following the Lord. Because see, their dogma become their gospel. It's gospel to them, and you're not going to talk them out of it. You're just absolutely, and we know some people like that. You ain't going to talk them out of it. So you just might as well don't try. Yeah. I don't understand all about that, I hope, you know, but I do believe that those that follow the Lord the best they could, that won't embrace the millennial kingdom and they won't adhere, especially the elderly, they're going to go home. That's plain to me. They'll go on to their reward, and it'll be good. All be good. So, anyway, we got to keep walking on the straight and narrow. It's going to be worth it. It may not be today, but there's coming a day. It's going to all be worth it.